Gottfried, and I'm here with my co-host Frank Santopadre. Or Gilbert and Frank's amazing, colossal obsessions.
You're frightening me. And we're here at Nutmeg.
Yes.
With Werner Rosa.
And we're here at Nutmeg with our engineer, Frank Verderos.
And the beleaguered Paul Rayburn.
Yes.
Our researcher. And we're here with Dick DiBartolo.
That's what he calls himself.
For part two of our game show episode. Now, we talked about Dick's experiences before on Match Game and To Tell the Truth and Tattletales and all kinds of stuff. And I got some game show research here. I got deep into this.
Yes.
And I thought, I wonder if I could fuck with these guys' heads and see what they remember. So I'm going to see how many of these shows you guys remember. This is our friends at MeTV helping us out with an article called Obscure Forgotten Game Shows of the 70s.
Okay.
Which I figure is our era.
Yeah.
Right?
MeTV
yeah.
thought I was too dirty.
They did.
Yes.
Yes, but they listened to the show because they did an article about our Don Wells episode.
Ah.
So that's why I said our friends at MeTV.
Oh, okay.
Is Don Wells
rather
good?
Than those scumbags at MeTV. Hey, didn't you
great.
Have questions?
Oh, yeah.
Quotes.
We talked about Gilbert on Pyramid.
In a previous episode, that's right, $25,000 Pyramid, which Gilbert remembered he'd been on.
Correct.
And
with Donny Osmond, not Dick
The internet, Clark. One who looks can find top Gilbert Gottfried quotes from $25,000 Pyramid.
That's sad.
So I have one. I always wish the hotels were like they are in movies and TV shows, where if you're in Paris, right outside your window is the Eiffel Tower. In Egypt, the pyramids are right there. In the movies, every hotel has a monument right outside your window. My hotel rooms overlook the garbage dumpster in the back alley.
That's good.
It's a philosophy of life.
It was more a statement about movies and TV than an actual joke.
Paul, once again.
That's
one of his top 10 quotes.
When you shouldn't have. See, that observation could be used. We could do another obsession show.
Called Trenchant Insights?
Or like ones that, you know, they've talked about this a lot. Stuff that is only in movies and television.
Right. We'll do one of those.
Girls waking up with their blanket over their breasts.
No matter how long they've been out of the apartment for the day, when two people walk in, there's always ice on the bar.
Yes.
No one ever goes to the refrigerator.
Think of that.
Well, they also park right in front of the building.
Especially in a hospital. There's always a parking space.
They pull right up and they get out and they leave their car there.
That's a good idea for a future episode. Why will we research that?
And then go. I like how girls will, when they're taking a bath, first of all, it'll always be a bubble bath. And then they'll reach for the towel and wrap the towel around them while they're still in the
water.
They won't stand up.
That's a cousin of women getting up from the bed with the sheet and the blanket
wrapped around them twice. Like it fit Cleopatra perfectly.
Exactly.
You know, it's
all right. So we've got the game show expert Dick DiBartolo here with us.
Oh, before you talk to him,
talk to him.
Another one.
I'd rather not.
Another one is, if someone's just wrapped in nothing but a towel, they can get into a fight, they could dance, they can do cartwheels. The towel will not slip off.
Even though you're begging it to.
Yes. It's like the towel is like staple to them.
See, Dick, one of the things that's been established on this show is Gilbert likes what we call incidental nudity.
It's called Gilbert nudity.
Gilbert nudity.
Oh, okay, right.
He doesn't like nudity in the context of a sex scene. He likes casual nudity.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like I want a naked girl doing her taxes.
Yes.
Putting in the light bulb.
Nudity.
Oh, yeah, changing a light bulb.
Nudity in the act of doing, in the process of doing everyday tasks.
Oh, okay. Okay,
yeah.
That's good.
Tacking down a carpet.
Perfect.
That kind of thing.
Up on a ladder.
Yes.
Yeah. 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 Oh, yeah. Excellent. Now you're talking.
Changing the floaty thing in the toilet tank.
Oh, yes.
black round. So you can see how many times I've changed it. Who remembers the Wizard of Odds?
There you go, Gilbert.
With Albert
Wait.
Now, did I redeem myself with this one?
What'd you
Paul
find?
Paul found a naked girl climbing up a ladder.
God. That's impressive.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Wow.
My best piece of research ever.
Yes, your only piece of research.
Now apologize to him.
Yeah.
All right, let's see what you guys can do with these. Alex Trebek hosted a show called The Wizard of Odds. Remember anything about it?
I do not.
From 1973 to 1974. Now, Gilbert, it's a special interest to you because it was produced by Alan Thicke.
Oh, my God.
Who also sang the theme song, of course he did.
Oh, God.
And composed it.
God.
Alan knows the monies in the theme song.
I'll have to listen to that theme song and come back and sing it.
Paul, maybe you can find us the theme song from The Wizard of Oz.
The Wizard of Oz.
Hosted by Alex Trebek. I think it was Alex Trebek's first, I think it was his. This describes his foray into the American game show hosting.
Now, there was a game show that was somebody brought it up on this show that I remember I used to watch and I loved, but I don't think it lasted that long, and that was the movie game.
Oh, with Sonny Fox.
Yeah.
Former guest and Army Archer.
And I liked that one.
You remember the movie game?
I remember one time they had Milton Berle. As one of the contestants,
I
and
think,
he was great.
Didn't we talk to Sonny? I think Sonny
was
the host
I think it was
of
Sonny
the movie
Fox.
Game.
That was a great episode.
Yeah,
Sonny
and a film critic.
So much better around. Than Dick
Sonny's
Bartle.
Around.
That's great.
Sonny's 91.
He was
super.
Yeah, this dog.
He doesn't
Bartolo.
Do the kid show anymore.
D. Bartolo.
Though,
yeah, he's a waste of time. But Sonny Fox was a good guest.
You're being roasted,
and,
Dick.
And Danny Aiello was a great Dick. Deep Bartolo.
Who remembers the show called Stumpers, hosted by Alan Ludden? Anything?
Oh.
No.
These were short-lived, October to December of 1976.
Oh, and then there was that game show that lasted one episode that Jackie Gleason came back.
Oh, you're in the picture.
Yeah, you're in the picture.
Yeah.
Oh. It ran one episode. I think people would stick their head through a picture.
You remember
and
this?
Have to guess.
Yeah, you know it was like those Coney Island boardwalk things.
Yes.
So this person would stick their
head. Oh, and then you have to guess what they were as.
And Gleason hosted it one time, and then came back the second week and apologized.
Yeah, he came on said,
God.
Right.
I'm embarrassed about it. This was the worst show.
Great television.
You know what?
Anywhere
never
on
should have
there,
gone
is there
on.
A thing that Don Rickles hosted?
Don Rickles hosted a game show. Yeah,
yes.
I couldn't find it. I couldn't find the name of it.
It was a Goodson show. It was very short-lived.
Yeah.
Because I remember...
Can you imagine?
At
Rickles?
The
hosting a game show? We'll have to... Paul, see if you can dig that out.
Okay.
Who remembers The Fun Factory, hosted by Bobby Van?
Wizard of Odds is tough. That's a tough one. Maybe we can get that for a future episode.
We will return to Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast after this.
Discover why critics are calling Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes the best film of the franchise.
What a wonderful day!
It's a jaw-dropping spectacle that demands to be seen on the biggest screen possible.
I need to go.
Hang on. It is our time. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, now playing only in theaters. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
And now back to the show.
So what am I looking up now? Rickles?
Rickles hosted a game show. Yeah. No one remembers The Fun Factory?
No.
With Bobby Van?
No.
You remember Bobby Van?
Oh, yeah.
The song and dance man. He was
the
married
dance
to Elaine Joyce.
Who
Elaine
did that
Joyce.
Bouncing thing.
Yes, I was just going to say that.
Right.
He was like hopping through the entire...
like for
and
7 minutes.
And I heard it was either the producer or the director. They were pissed off at him. And they invented that dance as punishment. Where
really?
It just had to keep hopping up and down, which probably became really painful after a while.
Did you say
I had heard that this podcast was painful and it was created to punish Frank.
Yes.
And it does every week, my friend. It accomplishes that every week. Okay, here's a Goodson Todman one called The Better Sex, which was hosted by Bill Anderson and Sarah Purcell.
Oh, my gosh.
Six men and six women competed against each other.
I remember that. Although those two were on a Goodson Todman summer show called That's My Line. It was to compete with real people.
Oh, okay.
Where people came on. And,
yeah, I remember Real People.
Yeah, okay.
How about Shoot for the Stars, Gilbert, in 1977, hosted by Jeff Edwards, who was better known for hosting a show called Jackpot.
Yes.
Wow.
And this was the last NBC game show to originate from New York City.
What does it say what year?
1977. It aired from January to September of 1977.
Holy cow. I didn't realize they left that early.
How about Blankety Blanks, hosted by Bill Cullen?
Blankety Blank was Goodson Tyman, wasn't it?
Yeah, created by Bob Stewart, who was a Goodson Tyman
protégé. Tyman person back then, yes.
Yeah. Okay, here's one of my favorites. The Magnificent Marble Machine.
Oh, my God.
Does anybody remember this but me? It was a giant pinball game.
And the people...
Hosted by Art James,
Did the people actually get in the machine?
No, it was two celebrities. I have a picture here of Artie Johnson and Earl Holliman.
Wow!
Playing the Magnificent Marble Machine against what looks like Leslie Uggams and Adrian Barbeau.
What looks like? Oh, that's very funny.
I can't tell because it's a very small picture.
That's the perfect game show, Kez.
That's just like scripted.
And Art James.
Art James, who hosted.
Died very early, right?
Didn't he host PDQ? Or was that Dennis James?
No, I think it was Art James. He used to live on 79th and Broadway, the Ansonia, I think it was, or the Bears.
Art James did a lot of game shows.
Yes.
Yeah, they described this as something like a psychedelic album or a Sid and Marty Krofft production. It featured a massive pinball machine as its centerpiece that was 20 feet high and 12 feet long, created by Heater and Quigley.
Quigley Heater Productions.
Yeah. So, and here's some that we have talked about on this show. Now, I know you know this one, Gilbert.
Yes.
This is called Don Adams Screen Test.
Oh, yes, yes.
You remember this?
I remember
it. And this was Don Adams when he was at the height of two forces there. One was midlife crisis, and the other was that horrible 70s fashions.
Yeah, well, there he is in a ridiculous leisure suit.
Oh, my gosh.
With a ruffled
now
shirt.
Now, he's clean shaven there, though.
Yeah.
Because for a while, he grew like a handlebar mustache, I think, and he would dress in those terrible 70s fashions, had the processed hair. And, I definitely remember that.
Yep, it was an American game show hosted by Don Adams. The announcer was Dick Tufeld of Lost in Space fame.
Oh,
he was the voice of the robot.
Wow.
Oh,
Lost in Space, he was the announcer. And it was an hour-long pilot, May 16, 1975. It ran short-lived, September 75 to September 76.
I think I'm looking at the same thing you are, Frank. Says it's owned by Universal Television, but has not been seen since its original airing.
I found a clip on YouTube.
Is that right?
That has Rona Barrett and the director George Marshall, who was an old-time film director. So what contestants would basically do screen tests.
Yes.
And the prize was you got to go to Hollywood and do an actual screen test.
Yes.
Now, do you remember Richard Dawson's masquerade party?
Yes.
In the 70s.
See, that,
it was somebody else first, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it was started in the 50s.
Mike Stokes, right?
I think it started in the 50s on the Dumont Network, hosted by Bud Collier.
Oh, my God.
But just getting back to that screen test one, what's so funny about that, if you win, you get a screen test.
Yeah, it was the prize.
That's like... I think you're an intelligent guy. I'm going to get you a job interview. I'm going to show you where they sell lottery tickets.
That's funny. Masquerade Party started in 52. It ran through the 50s. Bud Collier, Peter Donald, Eddie Bracken hosted
it. Oh, wow.
At one point, the immortal Robert Q. Lewis.
Oh, Robert, yes.
In
58, did some good
who Cavett told us about. Burt Parks hosted it from 58 to 60.
Oh, my God.
And then they brought it back in the 70s with Richard Dawson as the host. Now, you'll love this, Gilbert. Comedian Alan Sherman was the producer.
Oh, wow.
How about that? And celebrities would dress in prosthetic
makeup. Yes, I remember that show, yes.
And there was a theme to who they were, and you had to guess... They would act out scenes, and then the people would guess. It was like,
and then they would get a screen test.
Yeah. Now, Alan Sherman. I heard that Alan Sherman.
Yeah.
Like, you know, before he became famous, you know, he was like a fat nebbish. And then when he started getting fame and money,
he became a thin Catholic.
Yeah. No, he it just everything he was before and everything he wanted to be, it drove him crazy.
They
and
said he was a difficult guy to work with.
Yeah.
Alan Sherman. And he died young.
Yeah.
He died from, I think, during open heart surgery.
Yeah. And I think he just got carried away with his own success.
You'll never have to worry about that.
Yeah.
That's for sure. What do you got on Richard Dawson's masquerade party, Paul? Anything?
No, I didn't.
Sounds
horrible. I'm trying to see what happened to Alan Sherman, though.
Yeah.
I'm working on that at the moment.
How about the who, what, or where game? Does that ring any bells? Also hosted by Art James.
God, he hosted a lot of loses.
And then Three on a Match, hosted by Bill Cullen.
That wasn't Goodson, was it?
Bob Stewart.
Bob Stewart. Oh, okay.
Yeah. The announcer was, but these were shows that originated in New York.
Yeah.
They did these shows in New York. Sale of the Century.
Yeah. Stewart was
with
in New
Joe
York.
Joe Garagiola was done here in New York.
Oh, Joe Garagiola did To Tell the Truth for a while.
Right. So tell us, did you ever work for Jack Barry
I worked for Barry.
And Enright?
Yes.
Dan Enright?
Yes.
The famous blackballed producers
yes.
involved.
It was my first job. It was my after school job. Working as a messenger. And then I met Bob Noah there, and Bob Noah went over to Goodson, and he said, you know, Goodson has this idea for a game show, Match Game.
Oh, and then it
and
became
he said,
Match
yeah.
Game.
And he said, you know, they're looking for someone to write questions. You want to give it a shot? And I said, yeah.
Yeah. Because Sonny told us that he knew Enright. Because he remember
yeah.
Sonny was
oh, yeah.
was on the fringes of the quiz
oh,
show
yes.
scandal.
Yes.
Yeah. And Barry and Enright were brought down by that. They didn't work for years.
No, absolutely. And also there was a third name for a while. It used to be Barry Enright Friendly.
Was it?
Ta-da!
Okay, another challenge for the Green Hornet. Paul.
Can I give you Alan Sherman a little bit about?
Go.
It's sad. It's a sad story. He was affected by the Kennedy assassination when Vaughn Meader stopped doing any impressions, and his comedy was perceived to be similar kind of comedy.
Ooh.
And so he couldn't get work. He was divorced.
What?
His wife got custody of the kids.
How bizarre.
He lived in the, what is this? You guys probably know this, the sort of a home for motion picture and television, country house and hospital near Calabasas, California.
Yeah, Calabasas, yeah.
Did in 1971, he did the
That's
voice of the Cat in the Hat.
Sure.
The television special did one more Dr. Seuss thing and died at either 47 or 49.
Oh, my
yeah,
gosh.
He died very young.
That's a tragedy.
He was
really
a big
is.
Star in the early
That's
60s.
A Hollywood
he was a
tragedy.
Rocket.
Yeah. He had those his parodies.
Yeah, they were super. He had a lot of albums.
Yeah. Well, thanks for bringing the show down, Paul.
Yeah.
It's funny, isn't it?
Weird Al was definitely influenced.
We had Weird Al on the show, and he was a big Alan Sherman fan.
Yeah.
He's
a big Mad fan, too.
Yeah, I know he did. He edited an issue of Mad.
Yeah.
Those Alan Sherman albums, if you go back, and my son, the folk singer, is quite good.
Oh, very funny.
Yeah.
I remember,
go ahead.
Hello Mother, Hello Father. That was a number one hit on the radio. He had that one, Harvey and Sheila. Harvey and Sheila, Harvey.
Right.
And then it was something like, she worked for NBC, he worked for A&P.
Oh,
there was a parody of Matilda, the Harry Belafonte song called My Zelda. She took the money and ran with the tailor.
Oh, yeah,
and the Ballad of Harry Lewis.
Oh, yeah.
Glory, glory, Harry Lewis. Pop Hates the Beatles.
Well, you got a great memory.
Oh, I love Alan Sherman.
We should do an episode looking back at those tunes.
Yeah, well, we'll do a comedy album episode.
Yeah,
we'll do one where we talk about Vaughn Meader, too.
Yeah. Yeah,
and Alan Sherman.
Funny.
In fact, their careers were happening right around the same time. Sherman was a big deal in the early 60s.
Oh, yeah.
There's My Son, the Folk Singer, is filled with JFK references.
Oh, yeah.
Jackie Kennedy. Jump down, spin around, pick a dress of cotton.
Oh, that's very funny. That's very funny.
Funny man. I don't want to disparage the man, but I understand he had a difficult life.
Yeah.
Wow.
47. That's too early to go.
Yeah.
Well, now I want to kill myself.
Well, you knew none of these game shows.
I'm just doing my job here. Yeah. You know?
I still haven't figured out what you want.
Well, I noticed he wrote down the name of that retirement home out there.
That's hilarious.
He passed you a note and said, get me info. get me room rates on that.
We had the sad demise of Gloria Swanson and Alan Sherman in this episode. Right. All right, Gil.
Okay.
why don't you just say, our guest has been...
Our guest has been...
Dick DiBartolo.
Yeah, he got it.
And this has been... Gilbert. God, this has been Gilbert and Frank's amazing, colossal...
I feel like you're an iron lung. That's supposed to be sexy. Thank you, Dick.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Frankie. I'm not thanking you.
Colossal obsession.